Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our Old Testament lesson out of Isaiah chapter 11, and especially these words. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, junctional epidermolysis bullosa, acute angle closure glaucoma, ringing a bell yet? No. Galenic artervenous malformation. Nobody's nodding yes yet, okay. Purcutaneous endoscopic. Oh, then you'll get this one. Activated leukocyte cell adhesion molecule. No? I have no idea what any of that means. I looked it up in a medical dictionary. You know why? Every field of study has its own language. So I just went to this medical dictionary and I tried to find the most difficult words. And I worked on pronouncing them all week, by the way. So I don't have any idea what they mean, but I do know that every field of study actually has its own language, vocabulary, and expressions. Engineers talk one way, and I don't understand them either. Chemists talk another way, I don't understand them. And doctors talk like this, at least to each other, but I don't understand them. But really, it's not any different here in the church, because we have our own language, expressions, and phrases that the world out there goes, huh? But here's the thing. I think probably there are words, phrases, and expressions we use in church sometimes that maybe you go, huh? So I'd like to give you a little vocabulary test as we begin our sermon this morning. See if you know what these words mean. I'll start easy for you. Grace. Yeah? Sanctification. Justification. Consubstantiation. Transubstantiation, eschatology. Most of you are still nodding your heads yes. I want to make it harder. Synergism, Pelagians, conversion, modalism. All right, now if you get these next ones right, I'll give you brownie points, okay? Patripassionism, subordinationists, sacramental union, personal union, genus idiomaticum. It's actually a church phrase. Genus Maiestaticum. No? How about this one? Righteousness. You see, I think our faith will grow and will gain a greater understanding of what happened here as we come to understand some of these words that we use in church that maybe we hear and we think what they mean. We think we know what they mean, but we just kind of let them pass through. So today, in the sermon today, what I'd like to do is I want to go into and develop the word righteousness for you. I want you to come to understand what righteousness is. Sometimes church words have more than one meaning. Sanctification can be used in the wide or narrow sense, right? It can mean either your conversion or how that conversion is lived out in your life. Grace for my Father is what you say before you eat. Grace in the church is God's love for undeserving sinners. Different meanings depending on context. We can learn a lot about righteousness when we pay attention to the context in which it is used. It is used here by Isaiah, and it is used a lot by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. So here again, these words from Isaiah in our text today. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. Righteousness will be his belt. Isaiah chapter 11 is a prophecy about the coming of Jesus. It's a messianic prophecy, which is why it's included as an Old Testament reading during Advent. Jesus is the shoot that will come from the stump of Jesse. Jesus is the branch that will bear fruit. Jesus is he who has the Spirit of the Lord upon him. It is Jesus who he will judge by what he sees or decide by what his ears hear. All of this is about Jesus. And with righteousness, Jesus will judge the needy. Jesus comes and is born with righteousness. Jesus has righteousness based on who he is. So what then is a good definition of righteousness? Righteousness is to possess all good qualities in absolute perfection, holiness, and purity. And then to apply them. Righteousness is to possess all good qualities in absolute perfection, holiness, and purity, and then to apply them in life. It is to know and understand the will of God in the most holy, pure, and absolute way, and to live that will out without any deviation. Absolute perfection. Christ is the only being that could fulfill these qualities. Christ is the only being who could fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 11. Because he's the only one born with righteousness, with these qualities. Jesus possesses all good qualities in absolute holiness and purity, and he applies those qualities in absolute perfection. That is the way of righteousness. That is the way of Christ. Now, what about you? Well, it doesn't take long for you to begin to work with this definition of righteousness to realize that none of us are righteous. Not one of us is righteous. Paul makes this abundantly clear in Romans chapter 3. No one shall be declared righteous, Paul says, by observing the law. The main thing that the law does for us is to show us our sins. Oh, it does other things. There are other purposes to the law, but its main function is as a mirror to reflect the fact that we are sinners. We are not righteous. We are in need of help. We need a righteousness from outside of ourselves because we can't come up with it on our own. Additionally, Paul says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not righteous and we can't act righteously. Additionally, we can't make ourselves righteous. You can't just decide one day, I'm going to be righteous today. It's not going to work. Give it a shot. Here's the real catch, and the one maybe that's sort of burdensome for us. Guess what God demands? He demands that you be righteous. He demands absolute, pure, holy righteousness from you. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Righteousness is absolutely God's demand. It's not just his desire for you. It's not what he's hoping for. It's his command to you. Be righteous. But you can't. None of us can. We're sinners and we can't come up with it on our own. So what are we going to do about this? How are we to give in or meet God's demands when we don't have that ability to do it ourselves? What should we do? Nothing. It's that simple. Do nothing, because it won't work. You can't do anything on your own. You have to rely on something alien to you, something outside of yourself to give you righteousness. Thus comes the stump of the shoot of the stump of Jesse. The branch which bears much fruit has come forth. The Almighty, completely righteous Son of God, has left behind his heavenly home and entered into the world with righteousness to give, with righteousness for you. Jesus is born, that small babe in Bethlehem, completely equipped with absolute, perfect, holy, and pure righteousness to be given to the world, to be given for the sake of making God's people righteous. It is why he is born. It is why he comes. Christ has come, and in his birth, with righteousness, to give righteousness to God's people, that they might meet God's demand. On Palm Sunday 1519, Martin Luther preached a sermon entitled, Two Kinds of Righteousness. It's probably one of his most famous sermons ever. Luther's definition and distinction of righteousness is helpful to our understanding of it. He distinguishes between these two kinds of righteousness. First, alien righteousness, and second, proper righteousness. Now, you and I probably haven't talked that way very much, so let me explain those to you. Alien righteousness is the righteousness that Christ possesses because of who he is. It belongs to him based on the fact that he is the almighty, pure, holy Son of God. But it is also the righteousness that belongs to him that he imparts to sinners who need it to meet the demands of God. Alien righteousness is the righteousness that Christ gives to us. It is alien because it's external to us. We can't come up with it. We can't muster it up on our own. It is outside of us, but necessary for our salvation. This righteousness, this alien righteousness, is given to us by faith, and by it we are justified and saved. Think about it this way. What if God's demand wasn't that you be righteous? What if God's demand was that you be taller? Make yourself taller. You can't do it. Believe me, I've tried. You cannot make yourself taller. Oh, you can fool people with high heels and maybe a very tall hairdo. But that isn't really making yourself taller. That's just an appearance. You can't actually make yourself taller. You're completely reliant on God for how tall you are. So it is with your righteousness. You cannot make yourself righteous. You cannot make yourself pure and holy and acceptable to God. You need something outside of yourself to do that. You need Christ's alien righteousness brought to you. That external righteousness that properly belongs to the babe in Bethlehem, given to you because of his love for you, because he died on a cross. That's alien righteousness. It's outside of us, but it makes us worthy of God, makes us holy. Paul in Romans 3 states it very clearly. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So that is alien righteousness, a righteousness that descends from God through the babe in Bethlehem and is imparted to sinners in need of it by faith. The other kind of righteousness that Luther talked about in his Palm Sunday sermon was called proper righteousness. This is the righteousness that you do. It's the acts you carry out in your everyday life, that you do righteous things, things that are obedient to the will of God. This righteousness does not exist on its own, and you can't even muster this on its own. This righteousness happens because of the other one. Because Christ has already imparted to you and made you righteous, now you can do righteous acts. Now you can live out a proper righteousness because you've received the alien righteousness. This righteousness is a fruit of that other righteousness. In other words, Christ, by his death on the cross and his resurrection, makes us righteous. And then in remaking us righteous, he has equipped us to live righteous lives. For my 40th birthday 2 years ago, my wife took me to iFly. Do you know what that is? It's an indoor vertical wind tunnel where you get kind of the feeling like you're parachuting, you know, without the parachute or anything. You just kind of step into this wind tunnel. It's supposed to hold you up. It's a lot harder than it looks. And so you go and the instructor takes you into another room and he gives you everything you need. He gives you the outfit you're supposed to wear, the helmet you're supposed to wear, and he tells you and gives you instructions about how this is supposed to work. He fully equips you for the task ahead. Then he takes you and he turns on the air. And you stand there and he gives you lots of instructions and you manage to bang your face into the wall 300 or 400 times and make a fool of yourself. I have to admit, as I was sitting and watching these people ahead of me, there were different classes, and so I was watching the class ahead of me, and I consider myself a fairly good athlete. So I'm like, I got this licked, no problem. These guys look silly in there. I will never say that again. I got in there, and the 10-year-old that was in my group made me look really bad. So then after a while, you're sitting there, and you're not doing very well, so your second trip, the instructor comes in with you, and he's going to help you out, and he takes complete hold of you, and he lays himself flat, and all of a sudden you shoot 20 feet into the air, and he's spinning you around and stuff. On my own, I was completely helpless in that environment. But as soon as he took a hold of me, as soon as he guided me into what to do, actually showing me and holding my feet and arms in the right positions, I was able to float on the air, if only for a brief while. That's righteousness. You are fully equipped with alien righteousness. God has clothed you with that righteousness to make you worthy of heaven. But it's more than that as well, because as he's equipped you with those things, he has then taken you and shown you exactly what you were to do, and by the Holy Spirit equipped you to do them. That's proper righteousness. You and I can't do it on our own. Righteousness is something we can't muster. It's not something we can come up with. But alien righteousness is a gift from the babe in Bethlehem. And proper righteousness is what comes because the Holy Spirit works because of what that babe in Bethlehem did on a mount as he gave himself on the cross for your sins. I pray that you will come to a better understanding of righteousness, that you'll appreciate this great gift that God gives us, that as you hear it preached and hear it sung in hymns and in sermons, you will understand it and understand that it is something outside yourself that is pure gift that God wishes to give to you. To him be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray.